All right, welcome back to Jesse's Girls. I'm your host, Jesse Chambliss. I'm giddy today because I have a return guest who I love speaking with. And we are going to talk about something that has nothing to do with lesbians, women questioning their sexuality, supposed love affairs, anything like that. So we get to do something a little bit different with Leah Russo today.
Hi. Oh my God. How can you be sure, though, that we won't get into lesbianism?
You know, it's always on the table for me, and so who knows? It could happen. Yeah. I don't rule anything out.
Yeah.
Yes. But thank you for being here, because today we are going to talk about one of my favorite topics to obsess over, and that is Lindsay Lohan/Lohan. And particularly, we're talking about her new film, Irish Wish.
Yes. Wow. An illustrious and gripping film, really.
All I'm saying is award season is around the corner again. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Only like 350 days until the next Oscars, people. Let's get moving.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's get Lindsay where she needs to be, back on top. Critically acclaimed. Absolutely. But we are going to talk about the film today. But we are going to talk a little bit about just what Lindsay's acting career is right now, aside from the quality of this film, what it could potentially mean for her in the future. And then we are going to give an update about some of our other girlies that we love, because why not? You know, you can only talk about Irish Wish for so long.
Right. Well, when you came to me to do this, you were like, are you doing something about this yet? And I was like, I don't know, because I mean, the movie is what it is. You know, this is not like Oppenheimer, where it's like, let's unpack this and have a really in-depth conversation about the implications of our actions. This, you know, although I guess you could bring in the whole be careful what you wish for theme of this movie, mm-hmm. which is alive and well. But yeah, I was just like, So I was like, let's talk about the outfits.
Yeah, which we will. Yes. We're going to talk fashion, because I have all of the photos pulled up. I just have to give my kudos to Leah for taking screenshots of like literally every Lindsay outfit in this film, because we are going to break them down. They are important piece of cinema, of the cinema here. Okay.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
They will be discussed, but let's just talk about the film overall. So essentially, Lindsay is playing a character named Maddie, and, you know, very familiar Lindsay territory here, where she's like cute and capable, but a little bit unsure of herself, maybe a little bit of an underdog, despite the fact that she's clearly gorgeous and smart and has great fashion and, you know, has a budding career, but she's somehow an underdog. She's working with this author, but it's implied and basically explicitly stated pretty soon within the film that she is the author herself. Like, she's doing a lot of the legwork for this author. She's also in love with him. And so that's kind of where we are at the beginning, and we'll move into the rest of the plot. But so that's where we set up things. Did this feel very familiar for you as well?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I am obsessed with movies. I watch tons of movies. So for me, it's like I felt like I could guess what was going to happen every moment to moment. But I think even for people that have seen like five movies like this in their entire lifetime, I mean, it's very, very formulaic. And it's just, you know, it's not, I mean, but you know that going into it. You know, I knew that it wasn't going to change my life or anything like that. Although gazing upon Lindsay being so healthy and happy and thriving and just the hair and just everything is a lot for me. So I was kind of emotional because as you know, I did a very in-depth series on Lindsay.
And yes, for those listening, go check that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you don't know about this, like when I say in-depth, just think about how in-depth you think it is and then add like 10 more episodes onto that, because that is the kind of weirdo that I am. And I continue to promise publicly that I am not ever going to, you know, show up at Lindsay's house or anything like that. I admire her from a distance, but I just really thought people needed to hear her story in like a respectful manner that wasn't laughing at her or making a joke of what she went through. But I also wanted to make it fun and talk about all of the things that just made her such an icon of our time and all that. And I think one of the things was I just didn't realize how close she came to death, basically. I mean, not to get depressing with it, but it seriously, yeah. I mean, there were some really horrible accidents and things that happened. And just to see the way that she was able to pick herself up and turn her life around, I think it's so inspiring. And that's why, like, to me, the content of this movie and like how basic it is and how stupid it is really not important to me, because I actually think that the way that she is slowly kind of easing her way back into the industry, she's not like coming out with this, you know, big vehicle that she expects everybody to take super seriously and is like, okay, hand me an Oscar now or whatever. She's just kind of like, kind of tiptoeing back in, like, hi, I'm back, remember me. And I mean, as much as I want to say appearances aren't everything, I think just the fact that like she looks so unbelievably good, I think yeah. that's so huge, because most people are not like us and they don't know every detail and they don't know everything that's happened. So like they just saw her, you know, looking like she had been through a lot, and now she looks yeah. like a regular, happy, healthy woman her age. And I mean, she looks better than a regular woman her age. So it's just amazing. Like every time I was rolling my eyes at like, I was like, oh, they're doing this in this movie, I can't. I would just smile in the next scene because she looks like she's thriving so much that I just was like, I don't care how dumb this is. Like I just am so happy for her. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I think something that you can really see and notice here is that she wants to be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was missing from a lot of films and the latter half of her, you know, I hate using the word prime and when discussing, you know, artists and musicians and everything, but you would say like the younger, more familiar period of Lindsay's career, or like younger Lindsay in a more familiar period of her career, you know, after all of her personal and legal troubles began, she was doing things for a paycheck so that she could pay all of her outstanding debts that she had, you know, amassed for herself. Right. So it's very apparent now that like she is assured she wants to be doing these things, even if, you know, she's doing some cheesy Netflix movies or whatever to like rehab her image. I do think like the most compelling part of this film is that it is a vehicle for her to be where she needs to be in her career, right? Like we all kind of know that. We're all in on it. Like Lindsay's in on it. It's part of a, you know, a 3-film Netflix deal that she had signed, which is huge.
It is.
I don't want to downplay how big that is. No. Because like the fact that Netflix is betting on her to be the star to bring in these viewers, and it has worked. I mean, Falling for Christmas was, I would say, marginally worse than this one, like for me. This one's they're all kind of in the same category, a Hallmarky kind of category, but this one I think the quality was better personally, and we can get into that if you want to, but this is a big deal still yet. And Falling for Christmas was like number one for a really long time on Netflix. This is in the number one spot currently for movies. I don't know, as of this recording, like 20 minutes ago or whatever. But, you know, what she's doing is paying off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And I'm so happy for her because Lindsay has always been so obsessed with old Hollywood. And having a 3-picture deal with a studio is very old Hollywood. That is something that doesn't really happen anymore, but was the way of the land back then. Like, actors were contracted to certain studios and you were not working outside of that contract. And I just think that that's so, I mean, maybe some people think I'm being silly, but like, I just think that's so like full circle for her, because she is just fascinated by that era. And I think that's a lot of why she ended up the way that she was, because she kind of like romanticized having issues and being like Marilyn and things like that. And like Marilyn, she's very derided and misunderstood, and all the things that people think about as facts are actually not. And then there are so many other things that they would probably be fascinated to know if they knew the truth. So it's just very interesting to me. And I am so happy that there has not been one report of she has not been late. She has not caused any issues. There has been nothing weird. And I mean, it's because she really did like step back and take time. I mean, she moved to Dubai. Like, she was not playing, you know? And I even got a little like emotional seeing the candidates of her going to parties in Hollywood again. Like, I don't know if people understand. She literally has not – she has barely been in Los Angeles at all, even for a quick visit, in like – since like 2013, 2014, like – once she got out, she was out. And so the fact that she was like doing, I mean, I'm guessing the paparazzi were called like, because it kind of looked like a pap walk, like her and her husband, and they're walking the baby carriage. And then she went to a party that Christina performed at. I was like, oh my God, that's so iconic. And that
wild.
Yeah. I was like, wow, I love it here in 2005. So it was just, I was like, oh my God, Lindsay's at a Hollywood party. And then she went to the Vanity Fair party. I was like, Lindsay's at a Hollywood party. And I just got so excited, because I was like, I know she's okay and that she can be around that and it's not going to destroy her life. And just the fact that she can now go with her husband, who has like no experience of her in that world. He probably was like, wow, like, you're Lindsay Lohan, you know? I mean, imagine the Vanity Fair Oscar party is just packed with like hundreds of people in the industry. And I can't even imagine like all the people coming over to her and that haven't seen her in 10 years at all. And I was just like, wow, like, I'm just so happy for her. I'm so, so like genuinely happy for her.
Yeah, me too. You know, and it's so funny you bring that up, because I thought about this as, you know, she makes very calculated moves back into this world briefly, you know, for promotion, for whatever. Who is nice to her? I want to know who was previously not nice to her and is now maybe nice to her. Yep. Vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so curious about that. I don't know if we'll ever really get clarity about those things, because she's like there's no need to talk about them, you know, where she is with her career and her life and everything. She seems to be very much taking the high road in a way that she wasn't when she was younger. And so those things will probably remain a mystery, but I do like to think about them. Like, who is she going to cross paths with again? You know,
I know. I was thinking about that too. Like, who's being fake? Like, who's acting like they were there for her and they weren't?
Yeah.
And I think she probably sees through it. I think that she's a lot smarter than people will ever give her credit for. And I think she knows, like, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis is one of those people that consistently stuck up for her in the press. What they would always like text each other during everything that she would go through. Yeah. And like, that's a real person that actually cared about her. And I think that those people are probably few and far between, but I hope that, you know, like, I do wonder, like, with a lot of her older co-stars that were adults when she was a teenager, like, how that those relationships are and stuff like that. Obviously, she has a good relationship with Tina Fey and Lorne Michaels and Jamie, and it's like so awesome, because now we're getting Freaky Friday 2. We got her cameo in Mean Girls, you know, so it's just like, those people that were so influential in her life seem to be like good eggs, which is so nice to see that it wasn't like, I mean, we're seeing, I'm not going to get into this, but like that Nickelodeon documentary, it's like how horrible adults can be to children in Hollywood. And I mean, I'm just praying nothing like that ever happened to her, but it seems like at least the people from the big movies that we are obsessed with were good to her. And it's like, we are so back, you know?
Right. Do you think she ever speaks to her former roommate, Raven Simone?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
To be a fly on the wall. I'm sure that they were like never home at the same time or anything, but to be a fly on the wall, I would love to have just like seen their interactions.
Yeah. Well, that's what Lindsay said, is that they barely ever saw each other, and then she moved out, and then Lindsay didn't have a home for a really long time. Like, she literally would just go from hotel to hotel. She lived at the chateau. I mean,
it's wild.
I don't know if people, this is like such a random fact, but like, it would always kill me how Lindsay would she was just like such a mess. Like, I say that in a loving way, but like, she was renting out during Liz and Dick. She was renting out the chateau during that filming. And she then went and stayed at another hotel for some reason. And she just kept like running up the bill at the chateau. And then when she had to pay it, she told them that, the studio was supposed to pay it, which was Lifetime TV. Like, the producers were supposed to pay that for her. And they came out and they were like, we had no plan to pay that for her. We never said that. And I'm like, girl, if you're paying $1,700 a night at the chateau, stay there. Like, why? And they found her in another hotel and they rushed her to the hospital, or they called the police. And she was like, I'm fine. I overslept. But because in the past she had had like such horrendous, like, she was always going to the hospital for this or that, they thought that maybe she like died or something. And mm-hmm. so they sent the police to this other hotel. Like, I just, like, that is what we're talking about. Like, that's stuff that I feel like a lot of people don't know. And it's just like, this was a constant, every week there was something like this happening. And now she's like, she's just glowing and thriving. And it's just like, it's such a good success story. Like, I really hope that it's inspiring for people that have addiction issues, because she really like stumbled so many times. Like, it took her so long. And I know for most addicts, it takes them a really long time. They relapse multiple times before they, you know, are sober for life. But I just really hope that people are paying attention to this, because I think it's so inspiring for people that are going through that. Like, even if it's your third time or your fourth time in rehab, like, we know that Lindsay went to rehab 6 times before the final one was her sixth, but that's only what we know about. Like, she could have been in other programs and stuff. And I just hope people out there don't give up, because it's, you know, she's kind of like putting her toe in the water. She's not all the way in yet. She's still kind of, Hollywood is still kind of like, we don't know. So, but she's like working her way up and like earning her way back in. And I just think it's so inspiring, and it's a very special like life story that people should know about.
And on the note about like her staying in hotels and not really having like a permanent home for a really long time, my boyfriend and I were driving around Dallas where I live the other day, because we had a friend visiting. And so we were showing her around and driving through some of the like affluent neighborhoods where there's lots and lots of large houses. There's a lot of wealth in Dallas, right? And so there was a sign outside of one of those large houses that was like for rent. And Daniel, my boyfriend, was like, who rents like a mansion? You know what I mean? Like, consistently, not like for an event or something like that. And I was like, Lindsay Lohan. I said that. I was like, well, I have a prime example of someone who would rent a mansion and did, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it just made me laugh, us talking about this, because I was like, yep, I have a great example for you. Mm-hmm. And one quick note too, just because we know that Lindsay is sober and everything, when in the film, whenever they ordered a drink at the pub and they like handed her wine, I don't know why, I had a visceral reaction. I know it was fake and like obviously it was a film, but I was like, oh my gosh, Lindsay's like holding alcohol. You know what I mean?
I was like, how dare you? Like, are you not aware of the situation? Like, can you please get that away from her? Even though I know it's like cranberry juice. No, I was like,
yeah. And that's not to make light of anything. I just like my brain, like truly just knowing like what I know, I was like, oh no. But then I was like, wait, just like stop. Just stupid. back to the sort of plot of the film. Okay, so we've set up the scene. She is at this like I almost said album release party, LOL, at this like book release.
Yes,
oh, I wish. Release Xanax on streaming.
Yes.
We're at this like book party, and you know, Paul, the author who she works for, is going to do a reading and everything. And you know, she has two of her like best friends there to support her because it's a big deal. And one of them has a sort of instant attraction to Paul that seems to be reciprocated, even though Maddie, Lindsay's character, is very much in love with him and is hoping that he's going to, you know, have the same feelings. And then it's pretty clear that he doesn't, and he's really interested in her friend. Womp womp.
Yeah, I was like, girl, you have to speak up, because how long did it take to write this book? And this whole time you're just kind of sitting there like, I mean, look, if I had that hair, I could do anything. I could.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, literally, I could walk up to Brad Pitt or whatever. Like, I know he's not like the favorite anymore, but whatever. That's who I thought of. I could do anything if I had that hair, girl. Like, you are not the ugly friend. It's just, of course they gave her glasses, you know, because she's smart. She's a book editor,
and she's got to be ugly with glasses on. That's what films do.
Yeah, and it was just like, I don't know. I do like it, because at the end she like totally goes for it, you know, with the other guy. So I was like, okay, she learned her lesson. The arc has been complete. She's not going to sit on these feelings anymore. But I did feel bad for her. I mean, you know what? I'm surprised there wasn't a scene, though, where it's not her friend, but it's like she walks in on him and he's like, I'm engaged. I just didn't tell you all this time or something. So at least they changed it a little bit. But also, she didn't tell her friend, which is another thing. I'm like, girl, you didn't speak up. Like, if I was in love with a guy for so long, I would be like, please don't go on a date with him. And my friend would be like, okay.
Yeah. And they even kind of they tried to coax it out of her too.
Yeah.
In that one scene, and she was like, no, he's a great author, like blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, well, this is your fault, first of all, Maddie.
Yeah, speak up, girls.
Yeah, so Emma comes in and she's just like, oh, I love reading. And she like clearly doesn't. And so Paul's like, great, like, let me sign your book, and then gives her his number. And then all of a sudden, like, next scene, they're like engaged, right? So, yeah, LOL, funny.
This is the plot of a better movie that still isn't like, oh my God, best movie ever. But this is 27 Dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's her sister, not her best friend. So it's like even worse.
Yes, and we don't get great Irish like landscape. Ugh, right?
True. That's my favorite thing. I love Ireland. Like, I am dying to go there so bad. I always watch that movie P.S. I Love You for the vistas. Like, yes. It's just, oh my God, so beautiful.
And I got to go to Dublin for the first time in October, and it truly was such a great city. I didn't get to see a lot of the country overall. I did one day trip out to the coast, but like, I mean, the people, the atmosphere, the pace of life there, you know, like, it was just so refreshing and lovely. And so, like, hearing the accents and seeing the scenery and, you know, the fact that they filmed it there was really great. And that, I think, was one of the best parts of the movie, aside from, you know, what we discussed with Lindsay, like, just the fact that, you know, they set the wedding in Ireland, which I loved. And because Paul is Irish. And so, you know, they were all going to go to this wedding there, you know, Lindsay reluctantly. And at baggage claim in the airport, there's a mix up with her bag. And, you know, a strapping man happens to be going for the same bag as her. She's in a foul mood because of the wedding situation. But then all of a sudden, we have this gorgeous Brit. And, oh no, we have a snafu, you know, we have a run-in. And they kind of like butt heads for a moment, and then they go their separate ways. Maddie is trying to keep calling her Lindsay. I don't care who she is. She's Lindsay.
She's Lindsay.
Maddie is trying to get her lost luggage, because they do find out it's the other man's when they're fighting over it, and it opens up and his boxers fly out. And she's going to make everyone else like late, or not late, but she's holding everyone else up in the wedding party, you know, her two friends and Paul and everything. And so she is like, go ahead without me. winds up having to take a bus because there are no Ubers. And of course, strapping British lad is on the same bus as her.
He was so hot.
So like, hot.
He cannot, the other guy cannot even compare to him. And he had such good chemistry with Lindsay. Like, even though this, like, the dialogue, the script was so bad, but like, all, but the scenes between them, I actually did feel something. I was like, oh my God, like, they really, it was like popping off. I was like, you need to get married to him now instead of this other guy.
Because if you don't, I will.
No, literally.
Did you watch Downton Abbey? That's where I know him from.
No.
The actor.
Is that what he's on?
That he does have a, he does play a character in that. He's been in a few different things, but I love a period piece. And so I had never seen Downton in the last year. I watched all of it. And I mean, great show. But he is in the show and he is just fine, fine, fine in like everything that he's been in. And so when I knew he was in this film, I was like, yes.
He's so charming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't understand why they have, if it's Irish Wish, like why they have an Englishman. I know that like his character had ties to Ireland and he's kind of a nomad and everything, but I was like, okay, weird, but we're going to overlook it because of his hotness and because we're supporting Lindsay. But I thought that was like kind of silly.
Well, they probably just wanted him and they're like, let's not make him do the accent, like, you know. But what you were saying before about how they actually filmed in Ireland, I was so happy about that because honestly, like, there are parts of this movie, specifically the script, where it's, I just feel like it's such like low quality that they needed something, and the production value is actually really good for a movie like this. I mean, it's just the fact alone that Netflix put up the money for them to actually all to fly the production over there when, I mean, less and less people are doing things like that, especially if you're making a little movie like this that you could basically just film in a bunch of rooms or something like that and it wouldn't make a difference. I was like, okay, at least we get to see Lindsay sitting like under a beautiful tree on like a rock bench thing with her hair flowing, and it was just beautiful.
Yeah, the hair, I mean, wow. They crushed it with the hair. And I do want to go back and talk a little bit about the outfits that we've encountered so far. I know we're kind of jumping all over the place, but I'm just like, I'm in Chihuahua mode right now. Mm-hmm. So we do have two Lindsay outfits that we have encountered thus far. The first being the book party outfit, which is the dress. She initially has a scarf with it, but you know, oopsie poopsie, she closed it in a door. I'm clumsy, I wear glasses. So what did you think about the first look?
Okay, so I thought it was okay, but do you know who made this dress?
No.
It's an Alaya.
Oh.
I was like, is it really? I thought that like it's giving Target, but like that's okay. I love Target. I shop at Target. Very much. I buy things at Target. I thought it was fine. It was just okay. I didn't really like the scoop neck and the sleeves. I thought it was like kind of like too casual, but for like a big New York City, like, I mean, I guess it wasn't big. It was like an intimate thing, but even so, like more of a reason to dress up and whatever. But I think it was supposed to look like, I think she's supposed to look gorgeous and everything, but she's also supposed to be like, well, you know, I'm not the girl that like gets everything. That doesn't happen to me. So like, I'm just wearing my normal dress or whatever, but it was still cute. Like it was cute for Lindsay. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I also thought it was like a little underdressed for the occasion, but that's okay. It wasn't the worst look that we will see, in my opinion.
No.
So then we move on to when we're in transit and everything we just talked about, where she's traveling and she meets what's his face? James. And so she's wearing this like plaid, almost like a blazer-y type of thing with a white blouse underneath and then jeans. And then this is where she's like glasses mode, because she's traveling and she's smart. What did you think about this one?
I mean, I really, like, it didn't fit her right. It was so weird, the fit of it. Like, she had these cute jeans on, and I just, I don't feel like the whole look worked. Especially because, like, I mean, here's the thing. Every outfit, almost every outfit, except for, like, the black one, it looks like she's going to, like, an Easter event or something. And I also thought, like, because I was watching it and I was like, why do these people look like carnival barkers? Like, they look like they look like people on the boardwalk in like the 1920s. Like, Paul is literally wearing like a hat and a striped blazer, and then Aisha Curry is also wearing a striped blazer. And I'm like, girl, like, I don't know, it was just kind of weird. But yeah, this is a Moschino blazer. I was like, are they slipping? I don't know. But I thought it was funny that she had a fishtail braid in, because that was like my, when in like, I want to say like 2013, 2014, 2015, like I had that going on constantly. So I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense, because it's like not trendy now, but it was. So since she's not the cool girl, she would be wearing like that.
Yeah. I just don't know why she looks like she's about to go churn butter in every scene. Hate that.
It looks like there's a theme going on, like, yeah, for a wedding or something.
Absolutely. And I didn't like the bag with the outfit, no, personally. But I do want to move on to an outfit that I really like.
Okay.
And you might feel differently, but that's okay. So when they are, you know, they've already settled in Ireland, Lindsay's got her, you know, she's kind of like fifth wheeling it at this point, because, you know, Emma and Paul are together, and then Heather, and then okay, so this other character, who is he? Were you confused? Like, he's like out of nowhere just a part of this world, and then he's like with Heather. I was confused.
I don't know who he is, but I thought he was cute.
But yeah, he's so she's kind of like fifth wheeling, like, you know, they're taking a walk, and they're gonna go like row some boats in some gorgeous water or whatever, and they kind of pair up, right? And so Lindsay's like, oh no, like, I don't want to sit in the boat as the third person, it's kind of weird. And so she says she's just gonna go take a walk, and she's wearing this yellow sweater. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really cute.
I thought she looked gorgeous. I thought it was perfect, okay, because it didn't distract from her beauty. Whereas like the other, there's like a lot going on in some of these outfits with the prints. And mm-hmm. I just felt like it was perfect. Like it, because I personally love wearing stuff like that, where I can just like throw on like one piece that's like memorable enough that it's not like I'm wearing like just whatever, but it's not too much that it's like overtaking the whole outfit or like my, you know, hair, makeup and stuff. I thought it was cute. Again, like it was kind of giving Target, but like we love Target, but I actually like looked these up, and it's not Target. It's by Bowdoin, which I don't know the designer, but they it's $120 sweater. So
Well, look at that. It's accessible and cute.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite form of fashion, personally.
Yeah.
But I thought she looked really great in this yellow. And this is the scene where, like, the plot really picks up, because she's going to call her mother, Jane Seymour, Dr. Quinn medicine woman.
Poor Jane. I mean, they really, like, what the hell was this? Why was this they necessary? They
underutilized her. It was a very weird character choice.
What was the point of that?
I don't know.
They should have just had her there. Like, what would have been the difference?
I know. They did, like a Xenon, you know, like, FaceTime in, like, Zoom in character. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, whenever they got rid of Raven and replaced her, it was, like, it was interesting. I don't really understand like where her mother fit in at any point in the film. And it sucks, because I would have loved to have seen more Jane Lindsay interactions, like in scenes together throughout the film. I thought that would have been really cute. They kind of made like the roadblocks part of the plot for her mother to be able to travel from the US over there. Kind of, but it seems like an afterthought, and I would have loved more Jane.
Yeah, well, if you're if you're going to hire a name, like if you're going to hire somebody that people recognize, you should have written something a little bit better for her. It doesn't have to be like spectacular, but that was so weird to me because I was just like, she must be like shaking her head. Like, what happened to my career? But yeah, well, hopefully we have better things for Jane in the future because she's a queen. So,
so Lindsay like makes this wish that she wishes she was marrying Paul. And then she kind of has this situation where she wakes up and she doesn't know that the wish has come true yet. And then Paul's like around her and she freaks out, et cetera, et cetera, you know, big mix up.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You have to stop because the part of the movie that I laughed the hardest at, which I think is borderline offensive. Like, I don't even know, like, if Irish people would find this offensive. But there is this, like, elf. Like, what is she supposed to be? A leprechaun? Like, I don't know. But she only wears tunics and headscarves. And she appears out of nowhere.
Yeah,
she's true. Like an Irish fairy godmother. And she, of course, has, like, a very thick Irish accent. And it's just like, I don't like if this was like any other group, like if this was like an oppressed people, I would be like, okay, this is like offensive and like racist or something. Like, it was just too much. It was insane. And I like, it was just so out of pocket. I was like, what the hell? It was so funny. And like, Lindsay's just like playing it straight. So she's like, who are you? And it just like killed me. Like, I was dying laughing, not in the way that they wanted me to, I think, but like, I just thought it was so stupid. Like, I felt like if they were gonna lean into that and have like caricatures, then just make the whole movie like really like that. It was,
yeah.
I mean, it was just so, like, I'm not even hating on it, but I just, what did you think of Miss Leprechaun Magic Lady?
Yeah, I think that she is technically a fairy, right?
Is she? I have no idea.
But, I mean, I kind of, like, I think I've blocked it out of my mind. It was very silly. And
I couldn't handle the tunics.
Yeah, she, like, you know, grants her wish, but not really. Like, be careful what you wish for, as you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the whole point. Like, she's mischievous and
yeah, well, they almost got into the lore a little bit. Like, at first I thought they were going to reference like a real story or something, but they're like, oh, you know, like that type of whatever that can be tricky. And she would like appear randomly at times and scare the shit out of Lindsay. And Lindsay would be like, did you guys see that? And everybody would be like, no, we didn't. Like, what's wrong with you? And it was just, like, the dumbest. I just feel like they could have – like, she didn't – if they wanted us to take this movie seriously, then fine. Then they could have just had, like, maybe the lake sparkles a little bit more than it usually does. And then, you know, Lindsay wakes up or something. Like, we didn't need this crazy lady. And then if you were going to have the crazy lady, okay, make the whole movie cartoonish then. Because it was just so
it was just off. It was at odds with the tone for sure. And like, they could have done like a cute little, like, almost animated, like, storybook opening where they just give a little bit of the lore, like you mentioned, and set that up. And then, like, it's in the back of our minds. Right. We're not really thinking about it. And then once it happens for her, then we're like, oh. Okay,
that would have been,
you know,
better.
What I mean? Yes. No, fully for sure. You're so right. And I should not have skipped over Miss whatever her name is.
I'll never forget her.
I mean, she won't let you.
No.
But we do get another Lindsay look here. What did you think about this number?
The robe?
Yeah, I don't really know what to call it. A robe, sure.
It's the most gorgeous thing. It's the perfect color with her hair and her eyes and her, like, her whole, because she looks so Irish, right? Like, the freckles and everything. And it's just, the emerald color was so beautiful. And I also think Lindsay is so funny in this scene. Like, even though it definitely takes her too long to realize what's happened. especially for,
she's like, no, you're marrying him. What are you talking? What's happening? Yeah.
I just thought it was so funny when she's like standing in front of the door and her friend, who's supposed to be the one that would be like in the shower with Paul or whatever. And she's like, oh, what do you mean? Like, he's definitely not in here. Like, all those lines were dumb, but she played it very well. And I was like, she kept reminding me of Katie from Mean Girls. Like, I just felt like she had that very like natural beauty look, and like that innocence was back. Mm-hmm. And I just like every time she did something like really funny, it made me think of that.
Yeah. Because she's got like great comedic timing.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I loved about watching her on film, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that was a cute moment where she got to be a little more playful, which I loved, because she is kind of like the straight character mm-hmm. most of the time through this film. So yeah, that was really cute. I did like that. Mm-hmm. So once she like realizes what's happening, and you know, she needs to go like be a bride to be, I guess, or whatever. You know, we get another great look, I think.
I don't like it. I mean, I think she looks great for like for first of all, what does Paul's family do? Why do they live in a castle? Like, I would like to know what is going on there. Mm-hmm. And then for like a fancy dinner in a castle with like upper crust Irish royalty, I assume they are. I don't know what why else they'd be living. Actually, I kind of thought that mansion looked like the Playboy mansion, but that's a whole other thought. From the outside, I mean. But yeah, I thought it was okay. Like, I liked the color, but I think it looks good on her, but I wasn't crazy about that one.
I didn't like the bottom part that looks like a cupcake wrapper. Mm-hmm. I think I just liked her in pearls.
Oh yes, the pearls are iconic. That's Vivian Westwood.
Yeah. I think I like that, and that's really what's clouding my judgment, because now that I am looking at this again, hold on, I'm going to pull it up on my phone too. I'm looking at it like on computer and phone. No, you're so right. And this little like cardigan over it.
I don't need a matching sweater set. That's the thing.
Yeah. No, you're so correct. What were we doing here? Okay. So there's that. And then... So Leah sent all of these to me in our DMs and like added a little caption to all of them. This was like family meal, and then the next one is wobbly bike ride. So can you walk us through that? I would love your narration as we move into the next look.
Oh my god, this I loved this look. Like, I would never wear this, but like, this was so cute if you're like a mom taking your kid to like an Easter egg hunt or something. Mm-hmm. I thought it was adorable. And of course, like in like, even though this is Irish Wish and they released it for St. Patrick's Day, like I said, all the outfits are giving Easter to me, and she just like reminds me of an Easter egg.
Yeah, this is like the personification of Easter right here. Mm-hmm. I personally wish it was like a little more sexed up, but that's just selfish, you know, because they're trying to make her look a certain way. I would have loved the dress if it had like fit a little bit differently, and taken out those little pockets, and then I think this would have been great for me.
This is another Moschino dress. This one is $434, so go get it for Easter, girls.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's coming up in, you know,
couple weeks. Oh, less than a couple weeks.
Like, yeah. 12 days. It's the 31st this year.
Right.
Which is wild. So talk me through wobbly bike ride.
that Lindsay doesn't know how to ride a bike, which is iconic. She's like, they all decide to do an activity that she can't do. And then Paul and who's her friend, Emma, and they're all like fine on the bikes, of course, but Lindsay isn't, because she is not an overachiever or a winner. She is just a regular girl. She is an underdog. Okay, you need to keep rooting mm-hmm. for her. And then what how does this scene end? I can't even remember.
Is this where she like lands in the dude's car? Is right. that what happens here?
Right. I thought that was, but why does she go running out of the place when she's wearing the wedding dress? Oh, because she sees the weird lady. Okay, I just got confused. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So mm-hmm. she lands in James's car, which is, of course, where she wants to be the whole time. Who wouldn't? And
yes.
they are not, he doesn't know who she is, because this is a different reality. And so she immediately starts talking to him as if they've had this previous encounter. And he's like, who is this weird lady that is also really gorgeous? And so then the family comes over and they're like, oh, you found a wedding photographer, because he has a camera. And they're like, great, yep. Perfect. And he's like, no, I don't do that at all. That's not happening. And they're like, of course the mom is like, well, I'll triple your salary. And he's like, okay, great. So now he's the wedding photographer, because they needed some reason to like get him involved with the wedding and stuff. So then they go back to the house. She changes back into the sweater set outfit. And I was like, so economical. She's not going to waste that outfit just on the meal when
– Absolutely not.
No, we have the photographer meeting. So, then they hire him as the photographer. But they have to scout locations because they want to do this photo shoot for Paul's career. And, of course, because James is the more authentic man, he's making little comments that go over Paul's head because Paul's a moron, which he wasn't really at the beginning, and then they progressively make him more into an asshole.
Yeah, they dumb him down for sure.
But James is the good guy. So of course James is like, oh yeah, you know, like, what does he say? He's like, why? He's like, it's a publicity stunt and a wedding. And Paul is like, yeah, like, that's what I was thinking too. How perfect. He's
like, exactly. Yeah, like, I'm getting PR.
And of course, Lindsay or Maddie is catching on all these comments. And she's like, her internal monologue is like, you know what? I think I'm more like this James guy. I don't know if Paul's the right man for me. Why did I want to marry this guy? Which doesn't make sense, because she knew him for so long. Like, she knows him and they work together and they seem like really close. Even at the end when they switch back to the real thing that's happening, he walks over to her and he's like, there's my girl. Like, they have such a close relationship. Like, she would have known him. And like, I don't know. It's just like, again, the writing didn't work.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we're going to speed through the plot real quick and then talk about the looks in rapid succession.
Okay.
So obviously what happens is they're scouting out the places where they want to, you know, take all the photos and do the wedding, all, you know, the whole bit, and they fall for each other, right? Because Paul was injured, so he couldn't go with Maddie and James, because Maddie had kneed him in the balls the night before whenever he got into bed with her, and she got scared because she was not expecting this man to get in bed with her, right? So she like punches him, kicks him, all this stuff.
Yeah, they had to keep this. I don't know why they made this like it was produced by like the Children's Place or something, because I'm like, girl, why aren't, because you know what I thought would have been so funny is like as soon as she realizes that she's marrying him, like they should have done a shot where she like runs over to him and like plants like a huge kiss on his mouth, and she's just like, finally I get to kiss Paul, like this is so fun. I'm not saying there needed to be like a big sex scene, but like, why are you upset that he's getting into bed?
This is what you've wanted. Yes. Like, this is what you wished for. Yeah. That didn't make any sense to me. So anyway, because of Paul's balls, they're scouting out the spots. They get stuck because of a storm that knocks a tree down, which apparently the single road that you can take to get back to this place where Paul's family lives. So they bond, and then they get back, you know, and there are just more and more clues as to why Maddie and Paul should not be together. I'm going to never stop doing that. I don't know why they shouldn't be together. And then, you know, Maddie comes to her senses after a couple of different encounters where she has a very intense conversation with James that Paul sees. And then she also sees Paul and Emma together. And, you know, in the end, of course, predictably, everything kind of gets right the way that it should. You know, the wish is like essentially reversed. And then Maddie and James are able to find each other again. And Paul and Emma, as should be, do end up getting married, right? So that's kind of like what the film turns out to be, which we know, we expect. But now that we have all of the plot points kind of the main plot points kind of taken care of, let's go back and take a look at some of the things that she's wearing. Yes, go ahead.
I think that the wedding dress was not bad. Like, I don't know why they were acting like it was the worst wedding dress ever. First of all, it looked like it was tailored to Lindsay. I mean, it looked really nice on her. Like, yeah, it wasn't like a trendy for today wedding dress or anything, but maybe it's just because I don't usually like the wedding dress trends, but I thought that was like a very nice, very classy, like, again, if they're going with a cartoonish vibe where there's like this sprightly lady wearing a tunic, then they could have made this like a ridiculous dress, you know? I was like, mm-hmm. It looks really good on her.
Yeah, it was pretty chic.
Yeah.
And do you know who made it? Did you look that up?
They say in the movie that it's vintage Lanvin.
Okay, but is it actually?
I don't know. I didn't. I just figured that it was because it's the grandma's dress or the mom's dress, and they're rich.
Yeah, yeah. And if they say that, I mean, I feel like they wouldn't throw that specifically in if it wasn't. You know?
No, they're not going to throw them that bone.
And what you labeled as flirting on a cliff outfit.
Yeah.
It's back on theme with like all the plaid and everything, but I thought this one was particularly horrendous.
It's giving personally. Like the Gap in like 2000.
And for a middle schooler.
Yeah.
Like we get that she's trying to be like more modest here or whatever, like sure, but it doesn't mean it has to be ugly.
Yeah.
Like I thought it wasn't for me.
I thought it was okay because I like the colors with like just the whole setting and mm-hmm. like Lindsay just looks so vibrant. So I didn't think it was
her hair
is just her hair. Like that is what the movie should be called is hair, red hair. She looks so gorgeous, but like some of the outfits are just cheesy.
Yeah. We do have the little PJ set.
That was cute.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
Like nothing too much to say about it. Mm-hmm. But I do want to discuss, and I want to hear your thoughts on this next outfit, which you labeled, I would have never waited so long to propose scene. So this is the one where we have like the green, it's a dress, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it a top with a skirt?
It is a dress. It's the Tory Burch green, black, and white striped pleated mini dress. And it can be yours for $530.51.
With the thick black belt around it. What were your thoughts on this one?
Hate the belt so much. That was giving like 2012. I would never spend $5 on this dress. Never mind $530. I'm sorry. It looked great on Lindsay. Again, like
it did.
She pulled it off. And her hair was really cute in this scene. It was like half up, half down. She had that little bow.
It was the bow for me. That's all I wanted to talk about. The fact that she's wearing green again, love, mm-hmm. and the bow. Like, that's what I loved it for that reason.
Yeah. I did like the pleated skirt. Like, I like the black and white part of it because she is, like, running around during this whole scene. It was actually, like, hard to get a screenshot of it. And every time she runs around, it, like, looks really good. I love how she looks, but I hate the garment.
mm-hmm. So now we move on to the sorry, I'm not marrying that loser scene.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this one I thought was really cute. I think that it's the same thing that they were going for with some of the other outfits, but it's just a little bit more polished. I feel like it fits her better, and I really like the Miu Miu belt with it.
Yes, I agree. I think this one's really cute. This is kind of how I wanted the wobbly bike ride dress to look, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Not that wouldn't have been necessarily the most appropriate thing for bike riding, just for practicality reasons, I guess. If it's a little more like fitted with that belt and everything, I don't know how comfortable that would have been. But I just think it's a cuter fit on her.
Well, any dress would not be good for bike riding. Like when I saw that that's what she wore, I was like, girl.
So true. Unless you're like into the danger, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Unless you want chafing, that would be fine.
Yeah. And you know, some people are probably into that. Okay. And I love this caption. I actually love the photographer, but he's mad at me now. Scene.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think this is okay, but it doesn't fit her right. Like it needed mm-hmm. to be tailored to her body and it isn't. It looks kind of lumpy. And Even though this isn't actually a Chanel knockoff, at least I don't think it is, that's what they're going for. Like, it mm-hmm. looks like a Chanel fitted suit or fitted dress. And I feel like it really could have been a Jackie Kennedy moment had they given that to her. And I like the light pink and the baby blue together, or the like Easter robin's egg blue. It's again, it's very Easter, but I just feel like the whole look doesn't fit her correctly. So it doesn't flatter her body.
Yep. I agree. But an even worse offense is coming up.
No.
And so we are back to reality. And unfortunately, I wish this was fake, but we have this bridesmaid look. What do you think?
It's honestly one of the most upsetting things that has happened in 2024 so far. I really didn't understand. Even before when, because this is once we've, like I said, snapped back to the real situation on our hands here. But I had seen these dresses in the previous scene, in Maddie's wedding scene, when she shows up in the other outfit and she's like, I'm not marrying that loser. so I was like, wait, why are they wearing those gloves? Like, that's so weird. And then when they brought that back again, I was like, what? Like, the fuck?
That looks like an alien. That looks like tentacles.
I don't understand.
The gloves look, they look otherworldly.
Hey, are you enjoying this episode? I hope so. Well, despite your enjoyment, sometimes technology doesn't want us to be great. And the software that I use to record this podcast decided to delete about 13 minutes of just Leah's audio. And being the benevolent host that I am, I did not want to make her re-record all of that, so I am interjecting here to tell you that it cut out the remaining analysis of the Lindsay outfits, which is unfortunate because I was having a lot of fun, and you would have really enjoyed the rest of our commentary. Then we transitioned into talking a little bit more about Lindsay's family involvement in her career. So I'm going to let us jump right back in, and Leah is going to talk about her feelings about Dina Lohan herself. So without further ado, let's finish out this episode because it was so good. I didn't want to not post it. Leah is a great guest to have. She is so incredible and always prepared. So let's jump right back into the episode.
Yes. People think I'm crazy, but I am a staunch Dina apologist. I don't know if it's because I also have alcoholism that runs in my family, but I just understand. Like, I feel like I understand her. I don't know. I think she's a good mother and a good person deep down, but I think that the abuse from her husband, Michael, and the alcohol abuse, because she has had a DUI as recently as 2020. So I think that she really tries, but she relapses. And I think that a lot of the things that, like, the way that she has been framed is not exactly fair. And I just really empathize with her. And I think the main thing that makes me love her is that all four of her kids consistently defend her and talk so well about her and are so loving toward her when, you know, it's been years later, so many people are coming out about abuse in the industry and stuff. And they could easily be like, you know, Lindsay could be like, my mom didn't do the right thing for me or whatever. But it's the complete opposite. So I just, I do feel horrible for her though, that like, I mean, imagine skyrocketing to fame like that and just being constantly mortified by your parents' actions. And it's like, no matter what you achieve at home, it's not okay. So it kind of like doesn't matter because you're always going to have this disruption. And I also try to remind people that are, you know, constantly say like, oh, well, Lindsay, you know, she's a drunk. She's this, she's that. I'm like, when you grow up in a household where both of your parents are addicts and it's literally in your DNA that you are like predetermined to easily become addicted to something and then you add trauma into the mix, which of course happens in that scenario, it's basically just a matter of time. It's extremely, extremely like 99% chance that you will also become an addict. Like, she really did not have a chance between, even if she hadn't become famous, let's completely take that out of the equation, she still probably would have become an addict. So it just, again, like seeing them all on the red carpet together and they all look so healthy and happy. Dina looks amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if she got in contact with that fairy, but something happened. She looks amazing. So I'm really happy for all of them, but I do think that they could have written something better for Dakota, because his character was so unnecessary, and they obviously just threw in like a line here and there for him to, just so he's not an extra.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was bad.
I also would have like loved a shirtless like Mike Jr. scene, but you know, it's okay.
Because he is hot.
Because he's so hot. He's not really a part of, you know, all the things that they, like, you know, how we were talking about, you know, Allie and Dakota are always kind of, like, around and part of the projects and everything. He's, like, a little bit more removed in terms of siblings. So we should get more of him just, like, being a himbo in Lindsay's upcoming project. So if you're a producer and you're listening, that's what I would like.
Yeah, he actually has a seemingly very stable life. Like, he graduated college, he has a child, and his wife, Nina, is Nina from Living Lohan. Like, that is the same woman. So, I mean,
yeah,
so happy for you, Mike Jr.
Yeah, good for him. But he did have a pretty, like, bad hair phase, but haven't we all?
God.
We've moved past the like the Beatles hair that he had. So, well, now that we've wrapped up Lindsay, I would be remiss not to talk about a couple of our other girly pops with you before we close out. Because, you know, if this is the first time you're hearing Leah on my show, she started her podcast to focus specifically on the Simpson sisters. No one ever refers to them as the Simpson sisters, so that was fun to do. They always say, like, Jessica and Ashley, or Ashley and Jessica Simpson. And now you've expanded out. But, you know, Ashley, in a rare move, got very candid on a podcast recently with Rachel Bilson, Heart Eyes for Me. And she really reflected on her life, not just as a mother, but like her career too, which we don't get a lot because she's very like focused on being a mom, which is great. And I love that. But we got to hear a little bit more about her career and you know, the SNL thing and how that affected her. And that was really awesome. That was like, we don't ever get anything from Ashley lately. And so that was really nice.
We get nothing from Ashley. Ashley does not do long form interviews. Like, you know how nowadays, if you look someone up, you can essentially listen to them for like 10 hours because they've done like all these hour long podcasts and TV shows, now even do extended. Like, it's, she never does anything like that. You can, if you just try to find interviews of her in general, you can't. And I was really happy that she did that. She's even said that it was her first podcast, and I hope it's not her last, because like, I love Rachel Bilson, but that was so poorly edited and hard to listen to. I was like, what is happening?
It cut off like at the end part, and there was just like a new podcast happening.
Right. I was like, what is going on? And I just
did you notice that too? I thought I was just, I don't know what I thought was happening, but it did not, it was weird.
Yeah. I also thought it was very like, I don't know why the other people had to be there. Like,
I needed three fewer people.
Mm-hmm. It was too much. Everybody was trying to talk at once. And like, you know this because you have a podcast, like you can isolate each individual speaker. And if someone talks at the same time, instead of, you know, wasting time or whatever, you can just delete out their voice. And
yeah.
I was like, why do we, like, they didn't even spend time on this. Like, it just felt like it was like, oh, let's all hang out and just chat. And it felt very like it felt like inside baseball about being like an LA rich mom. And I was just like, can we get more into Ashley's life? Like, I want to hear about that, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. But it was still more than we'd gotten in a decade, you know?
Yes. Well, except for the Arcadia magazine article that came out right after Christmas, which was so huge because Ashley said that she is coming out with music this year. She said that she's releasing a single in the summer. And it's so funny because nobody believes her. They're all like, she always says this. And I'm like, she does not say, I have a single coming out in the summer. She'll say, yes. She says all the time, like, I know I want to get into music, but she has never said this before, except for like when she actually was coming out with music.
Yeah.
So that was very big. And it was like not the best article. Again, it was kind of just very like whatever. But the fact that she said that, and then she also said that because they're re-releasing Autobiography for the 20th anniversary on vinyl. And she said that they're going to, quote, redo some things, which I was like,
like a Taylor's version.
Right. But I was like, that's where my mind went. Because I was like, why are you redoing a perfect album? And I'm hoping that what she means is like they're going to put on the bonus tracks.
Yes.
And the demo, like some of the demos, because there are a million demos from Autobiography, right?
Yeah.
Because Autobiography was going to be like a complete, not completely different, but it was going to be a much different album before they brought in like John Shanks and Cara DioGuardi and like the more shiny, popular producers of the time.
Yeah.
So there's a million demos. So I'm thinking that maybe some of them like don't sound that good and were just kind of like recorded by Ashley off the cuff. And maybe that's what she means. Cause I'm like, I mean, anything from Ashley is fine. Cause like we don't get anything, but don't re-record. Like nobody stole your music. Like don't re-record it, but give us more.
Yeah. No, I agree. I hope that's the route that they go. Because you know, when I get the bug every now and then and I want to like listen to something unreleased from Ashley and I have to listen to some like weird YouTube thing that was uploaded, you know what I mean? Like it would be nice to have that officially released.
Yes. I can't wait. And there's things that I can't say, but I do know that there is going to be another thing. There's going to be another Ashley release that no one has talked about, not even her. And I do know that for a fact. So I'm really excited about that as well. So like at least the wheels are turning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of worried if she wants the single out in the summer that it's already like almost April and there's been nothing at all. That's a little, I don't know, but if she wants to take her time, that's fine. But if she is actually like in the studio, that's all I need.
Yeah, like start teasing it a little bit.
Yeah,
and something. Like when she went on stage with Demi and performed, I was really wanting her to capitalize on that momentum because it was a little moment on the internet. But you know what? It's okay. It's her own pace. It's her own time. She said being a mom is her priority and like that's the most important thing to her right now. Like, sure. But, you know, let one of the two fathers take care of the children. And
honestly,
you do something for yourself.
Yeah. And where was she where she was like, did you see this recently where she sang a bunch of her songs? Like she was like at a DJ booth. It was like a party or something. She did Pieces of Me. She even did Out of My Head. Like someone, hold on, let me look at my, because I have, just so you guys know, if you guys are like, what the hell are Ashley and Jessica doing? I have highlights of like the current year. Like it says like Ashley 2024 and Jessica 2024. So you can see. Well, people need to know. Like they are fabulous and amazing and people need to know. Okay. It was at Public Hotels. I don't know. Ashley singing La La last night. So yeah, you can. Oh no, it was in New York City. That's why I was so pissed that I missed it. But yeah,
was it a planned appearance or was it like a spontaneous thing?
Okay, now I know it was the Christian Siriano after party because he always styles her. They're like besties, and she wore this amazing look by him. Like that, honey, was tailored to the gods, and she, let's just say, maybe drank a drink or two.
Thank God.
Loosen up, girl.
I love it.
And yeah, they were at the DJ booth and she just started, like she took the mic and started singing. So I am obsessed. And yeah, go check out my Ashley 2024 highlight for that.
Will be.
Everything.
Will be. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so what's the Jessica update?
Jessica is either almost done or done with her album, which she's been recording in Nashville.
Yeah.
And she is also supposed to come out with her album. But again, I mean, she's been saying this for like a year now and she has been working on it and has been living part time in Nashville. So this is all real and actually happening. Whereas Ashley, we haven't seen any evidence aside from her just saying it. But I am a little worried that it's almost April and there's been no, like, announcement, photo shoot, magazine, anything, just a more official thing of Jessica mm-hmm. announcing it. There are a lot of rumors that her and her husband are maybe separated or not doing well or something like that, because Jessica has not been wearing her wedding ring in public for a long time. So I'm wondering if that is going on, like maybe that would cause a delay or something, or maybe yeah. it wouldn't, or I don't know, but like, it's a little odd to me that nothing has actually officially been said yet. But even as recently as like 6 months ago, Jessica was like, I'm going on tour next year. Like, she has been expressing, I'm all in. It's the perfect time. Like, I feel so free in the studio. Everything is amazing. I'm writing every song. So, I mean, it seems like they're good to go. I'm just like, I'm looking at my watch. Like, I, you know, watch the clock every room that I'm in. I'm like, when are they coming? So I'm ready. Wherever they, if either of them are doing a show anywhere, I don't care where it is, like, I will be at that first show. So meet me there.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like, adulthood has been me like healing my inner child and seeing all the people that I want to see. Yeah. Like this weekend, I'm seeing Madonna for the first time. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing all of those things. And so I'm super excited. Do we think that Jessica's album is going to be country?
Honestly, I think it's going to be a blend, because if you listen to the songs, her most recent songs that actually, they didn't really come out, but I guess they kind of came out. They were on her autobiography.
Yeah, with Open Book.
Open Book, her audiobook. They were a part of that, and it was five songs, and they were really good. And she wrote all of them, and they were very personal, very, you know, self autobiographical. So, I mean, they were really good. So I think that I could see it being like not full on country, but like folksy pop kind of thing. But I definitely see her doing like a small tour of like theaters and, you know, nothing, no pop girl type of stuff. I really see her wearing like flowy dresses and like just standing there and singing. And that's what I want. So I'm kind of like cautiously optimistic though, because I'm just, like, I'm worried. Like, I just want the rollout to be perfect. And people get so mean to Jessica on TikTok and stuff with her voice. And I'm like, ah. But then we did get that the cover of Particles that she did, that she released. That was
Which was
like,
great.
It was really good. And her tone was a lot better. Like, you could tell she had like vocal training and stuff since then. Yes.
Because if you don't use it, you do lose it. Like, that's a real thing.
Yeah. And Jessica has such great like natural talent and pipes. If you watch her performing in high school, I mean, she literally could have instead trained and like been on Broadway. I mean, she really could have. It's just like the tone and the experimental things that she likes to do with her voice sometimes that choices. I don't like. Yeah, but she has the talent. It is so there. And
I can't
wait to, especially because, you know, she is writing now and she's gotten sober and everything. And that was such a huge milestone for her. And I feel like she probably has so much to say and so much to write about. So I really hope this will enable people to take her more seriously as an artist. Cause I feel like they do take her. I feel like the general public knows now like how rich she is from fashion. And they're like, oh yeah, she might be a ditz, but like, look at, you know, what she's done.
Yeah.
And it's really like hard to sway that public opinion. So the fact that she actually accomplished that is amazing. So I just hope that next people will be able to take her seriously as a performer.
Yeah. Well, you know that I'm strapped in and ready for a comeback from either of them. And I hate calling it a comeback, but I mean, truly, because it's been so long, I think it qualifies. Yes. So I'm looking forward to it. I cannot wait for your coverage of it, of the inevitable, you know, content that we're going to get. I'm ready. And just, I hope it's good. Whatever they give us, I hope it's good.
The Ashley and Jessica cast is going to pop off. Like, no one is going to be able to handle it because here's the thing. Like, I think Jessica, if I could predict, I think that Jessica's album will be good and I think it'll do well. But I think that her main thing is fashion, you know? And I think that, like, she'll do music on the side when she feels like it. But I really think that Ashley has the potential to, like, I think Ashley has the potential to, like, blow everybody away because she only had a short little moment and what happened to her was so unfair and she just – everything went wrong, like – and with the career anyway. I mean, it seems like she has a great life and I'm happy for her. But, I mean, I just think with the natural talent that she has and then her sister being Jessica and, like, all this, like, Nashville influence. And then her mother-in-law is Diana Ross. And hello. I just feel – yes, like, I just feel like there is potential here to be, like, winning Grammys and, like, selling out, you know – I'm not saying she's going to, you know, be Taylor Swift, but, like, I really think that if Ashley, like, puts her mind to it, like, everybody please – just buckle up, strap in. If you don't remember 2004, you don't understand, you don't know, okay?
And something that I thought was really funny but great that she acknowledged was during when she was on the podcast, she talked about, you know, SNL, obviously, and she mentioned how she went back on SNL and she was like, I can't find the video anywhere. She's like, I looked for it. And I wanted to be like, I have it.
We all have it. All the Ashley stans were posting it.
It's still on Daily Motion. Like, you can, like, go get it, girl. Like, don't look on YouTube. You gotta go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was really funny. And I was like, no, I have it. I'll send it to you. I hope that after she said that publicly, like, someone in her camp gave it to her. Like, it's well, there, girl.
Well, no, a bunch of Ashley stan accounts posted it and everybody was, like, tagging. I was gonna do it too, but then I saw everyone else doing it and I'm like, okay, they have it covered. But she did like... I think she even said, like, oh, thank you so much to one of them. So she she does now have it.
I need to be so much better at social media and, like, keeping up with that. I know. No, I do. I remove myself a little bit. And so I miss some things. But thank you for filling me in.
Yeah. Thank you. Look, if you need somebody to, you know, sew up a wound or complete a surgery, not going to happen. But if you're wondering what's going on with Ashley and Jessica, I got you. There's no one better. I got you.
Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. Leah, this has been so great.
They're like, who is this weird individual?
They know, and it's not sad. This is what we're all here for. This is what we're here for. But thank you for being here with me. I love celebrating Lindsay and talking about some of our other faves. It's just great to see people in a good place and, you know, we need those, like, positive things from people right now.
Absolutely. So,
absolutely. Of course, I will have all of the places to find you tagged in everything, the notes of the show and social media. So everyone, please look there. Go to Jessie's Girls Pod on Instagram and you will find everything you need on Leah and Ashley and Jessicast. So can't thank you enough. I can't wait to talk with you again when you're back, because you will be this year once I finally, you know, get you back for the thing that I want to get you back for, and we'll just leave it there. And
can't wait. And we didn't talk about lesbians.
We didn't. So you know what? Look at us. I think that's growth. It doesn't mean we won't ever again.
No, I mean, look, maybe I was just going to say, is Ellen one of Jessie's girls? But I'm thinking maybe not.
Nope. Definitely not Ellen. There's other great lesbians.
There's so many great lesbians.
So many great lesbians. We'll talk about them later. We'll Rosie. Do it. Yeah, we can rank our favorite lesbians.
Okay. I would love that. They're all number one.
Yeah, they're all number one. Okay, Leah, I will talk to you next time.
Okay. Thank you, Jessie.
Bye.
Bye.